Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What is going on? It is the Ethos Clippers podcast coming at you here at 8 p.m. on Friday night after the Los Angeles Clippers lay an egg larger than any egg you have ever seen. I am your host, Brandon Marcus, joined by my co-host, Matt Warren, back on the Ethos Clippers podcast. Matt, how are you, my friend?
Sports Ethos Clipper Nation, Brandon Marcus, how the heck are you? Boy, what an evening. I've got some thoughts, so let's get into it.
Let's get straight into it. I have a question for you, though. Who do you think had more energy this evening? The Los Angeles Clippers, or me, who was up at 3:15 this morning to get into work at 4 a.m. and has to do so again tomorrow? Who has more energy?
So, it's close, because at 6:10 left in the fourth quarter, there was some sort of energy, which we'll get into. But I have to say it was you, and kudos to you for getting up when, you know, I think even before roosters start roostering, and going to work and doing your thing. And the only thing I will say is this: I texted you and I said, should we start recording? Because I thought that we both knew the game was over.
Yeah.
Before it's, and you said, I'm at the gym. Good for you. The last time I was at the gym, I think Danny Manning was on the team. But then you had to take a, you were like, let me take a shower and, you know, regroup. Mm-hmm. I had to take a shower, and this is the only really, really, really Clippers fan thing I'll say about it. I'd take a shower after all of the drool from the broadcast about Luka and the Mavericks that was spit all over me throughout the entire game, because gosh darn it. I mean, you know, if that shot usually falls for Luka, Kyrie is magic. The defensive play and this, I get it.
Yeah.
They made some good trades. Luka's good. Kyrie is good with the basketball when he's not crazy. I get it. I had to wipe myself off a little bit. Anyway, okay. Rant's over. Let's go.
Yeah, that's what happens when you have J.J. Redick, who I love. But, man, he really does love the Mavericks, and especially Luka from his time there. And, yeah, listen, it's deserved. The Clippers play like absolute dog poop. And so here's the thing. I mean, I don't even know where we want to start. I think we can start this podcast actually with someone that we waited to start the podcast with, or rather waited to get to the podcast halfway through the last game, and that's Kawhi Leonard. And yes, he was bad, and we spoke about it last podcast, and we said, and we both discussed this, and we agreed that you could make the case that the Clippers were better off with Kawhi sitting last game after they had that momentum after game one, and how rusty he looked in game two, and how much it looked like he was going ISO to try and get himself going. And here we are in game three, where he clearly did not look healthy, clearly has an injury issue that he's dealing with. He was questionable coming in with knee inflammation, and our buddy Justin Wilson said, you know what, that's standard, because if they decide to rule him out, they don't want to get fined by the league. Listen, the way injury reports work, if it's an issue, you could easily have it pop up today on the injury report and rule him out and still be fine and not get fined. Like, that's one of those things where they wouldn't get fined for that. You get fined if you don't put somebody on the injury report and then you rule them out at the last second. The fact that he was on the injury report yesterday, my guess is that means that something's going on. And guess what? It was very evident watching him. And I don't know why he played as many minutes as he did in the second half, because he was rather useless. And so was Paul George. But man, you really could make the case that the Clippers would have been better off if Kawhi Leonard did not play in the first three games of this series. And I said last podcast that you don't win this series if you don't have Kawhi Leonard. And the way Dallas has played, they haven't done anything special. So it's very possible that they could have won this series without Kawhi Leonard. Hell, they almost took it a couple of rounds without Kawhi Leonard a couple of years ago. So, you know, it's possible. But man, I don't like what I've seen so far. Wouldn't be surprised if he sits for game four. And if he plays with game four and he is the same guy and he is not healthy, the Clippers are going to lose again. I mean, because it's really like having a player out there that's actively hurting you. And it's 5-on-4. And so I don't know what to do with him. I don't know what you think we should do with him because it hasn't been good so far.
So I think you're right. It's been so detrimental, and he didn't have to play all those minutes in the second half today. He maybe could have even sat today. He could have sat game two, but he also could have sat today because he 9 points, 4 turnovers. Yeah, 9 rebounds. Great. But just the same thing as we saw in game two. Isolation, going to the corner. There were a few flashes of there were two big dunks. We're like, oh, maybe Kawhi's back. But no, it is. I don't think that he should have sat both games, but he probably should have sat either the last one or this one to get him ready to even up the series and regain home court advantage. So you're gonna lose the series if you don't have Kawhi Leonard. You're gonna lose the series if you incorporate him poorly, which it feels like has happened. And but just to mention the minutes, I thought the minutes I guess you have to go with game flow, but the minutes were all over the place today. It was just such an S show today that Kawhi is a big issue. But I mean, it's just across the board. It was alarming. But should he play in game four is the question. I do think yes. Like, what are you going to do? Go down 3-1? I honestly don't think you're better off without Kawhi. At least giving it a shot in game one, and then if he sucks, if he doesn't have it together, then you pull him and then you don't play him the rest of the game. But you got to give it a shot.
When you say game one, I'm assuming you mean the first half.
I'm sorry, game one, quarter one.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's bad. It's not great the way he looks, and it feels like the Clippers kind of made their bet at this point, and they kind of just need to go ahead and play him, but clearly he should have sat game two. I mean, you mentioned he should have sat one of those games. I mean, he should have sat game two. He clearly was not ready. He didn't have any practice reps. He didn't have any contact, and you know how many minutes he played last game? 34 minutes in his first game back. And it was in a loss. It just wasn't good. He didn't look good at all last game either. And he started to show a little bit of burst in the second half. But man, we knew right away with this one that he did not look right. And there was even talk from Brian Shaw to Christina Pink that they're going to give him a chance to go out there and see how he looks. And they may sit him if he doesn't look right. I don't know what they saw because he didn't look right. And he continued to play in the fourth quarter when they were down nearly 20 points. It didn't make any sense at all. And there are time and time again, we come on this podcast and we talk about guys like T-Man and Coffee and Zoo because we really don't focus on the guys that we expect to do well. And when the Clippers do poorly and their stars do poorly, we come on here and we talk about PG and Kawhi and Harden. And guess what? The supporting cast, apart from an awful, awful, awful Russell Westbrook game, was fine. It's just when you have PG and Kawhi, two guys that make a lot of money, just not show up in a playoff game, you're going to lose. And in this case, it's Kawhi Leonard has an injury to at least make an excuse of it. And he's going to play in the playoffs because he's Kawhi and he wants to play. But I think the Clippers made a mistake playing him in game two. You got that 1-0 series lead. If you sit him for another couple of days, you have that Tuesday to Friday layoff. So they could have given him at least 4 or 5 more days rest after that Sunday game they didn't play in. You sit him Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, then you play him on today. Who knows if he's a different player and who knows what the result is. But you won that game. It feels like you try and steal another one without him. It's hindsight's 2020, Matt. But man, I think the Clippers are in really bad shape right now, and I don't see how they come back and win this series.
It's tough, and just to play devil's advocate, like let's say Kawhi said, I want to play. As Ty Lue, what do you do? Do you sit him down? Because it just seems like you bend to the whim of Kawhi. He's like, I don't feel right.
Yeah.
I'm not going to play. I do want to play. I'm going to play. So, like, what is the right move? Like, could he have sat him? I mean, you know, that would have taken, you know, like balls upon balls upon balls to have sat Kawhi. I don't know that it was an option if he and his team or whoever's making those decisions says he can play. I mean, I don't know that that was an option for Ty Lue. But you want to talk about the two stars. Look, Kawhi sucked tonight, but you look at Paul George. So we always talk about if one of the stars doesn't perform, mm-hmm. and we're talking about Harden, Kawhi, and PG, then maybe the other two will step up. Well, boy, it was kind of terrible across the board. Harden wasn't terrible tonight. In fact, he shot okay. He played way too many minutes for my taste. I mean, if we want to talk about the Harden minutes, we'll get into that. But I just think it's hard to sit Kawhi if he and his team says, I'm ready to play.
He had as many turnovers as made field goals today. I mean, that ain't it. That ain't it. Paul George had two more fouls than he had made field goals today. And so, listen, Kawhi is hurt. I mean, he's trying to gut it out for his team. I just think the Clippers are doing a poor job in managing him right now. I don't think he should have played game two. And I think they should have realized that after watching him today, he should not have played the second half. There was absolutely no need.
If they just said he's hurt and they sit him, then it would be, this is just another Kawhi thing. So, I mean, like it's, oh, man. I don't think there's any win here.
Dude, they've bent the knee to Kawhi for the last several years. I mean, that's why we've come on this podcast and I've said this is one of the least fun Clippers teams that we've ever seen. I mean, the 2-1-3 era has not been very enjoyable, man. Injury after injury, bending the knee to Kawhi, the injury reports have been sketchy as hell. It just has not been enjoyable for the fans. And it's enjoyable when you win games, for sure. But apart from that 31-game stretch this season, there hasn't been much that I've enjoyed about having Kawhi and PG. You know what I would have enjoyed? Watching Shai Gilgeous-Alexander grow before our eyes as a hometown player. That's what I would have enjoyed. I enjoy guys like Terrence Mann thriving on the big stage. Like, you trade everything to get these two guys, and guess what? They've been a flop. They've been a major flop. And so, you mentioned PG. Let's get into him, because I got to tell you, man, I've come on this podcast, I've ripped into him time and time again when he has been a no-show, and I have never seen a player that wants to command as much money as he wants to command in the offseason, lay egg after egg after egg in games, and then he'll go and have a 30-piece and look incredible and do it on both ends, offensively and defensively, rebound the basketball, go nuclear from three, but to have a 30-minute performance where you're 3 of 11 and you're 1 of 6 from 3 and one of those made shots was an absolute prayer as you're falling on your ass. I mean, come on, dude. At 5 fouls, pick up 3 fouls with 6 minutes to play in the first half and you hurt your team like that? Another game where PG gets in foul trouble? I've never seen a guard like him that gets into foul trouble as much as he does. And then here we are in the second half where he's useless again. This guy continues to disappear in big moments for this team. And I'm tired of it, man. I'm absolutely tired of it. And I don't enjoy watching him because he's too inconsistent for a guy that's a star player. And that's what I have to say about that.
And I completely respect that. I also respectfully disagree because he's actually one of my favorite players to watch of all time. He sucked tonight. He was terrible. He was awful. Some of those fouls were ridiculous and he had 5. He probably should have fouled out of the game, to be perfectly honest with you. But when Paul George is humming, Paul George is humming, right? And so this is the dichotomy of Paul George and that we love and we hate as Clippers fans. He can suck and then he can hit those big shots and big moments, but then he can also be this guy that just disappears and, you know, now he's a podcast host and he's Playoff P, or is he whatever it is. But I don't think that this performance tonight. And yeah, maybe it's indicative of performances he's had before, but remember, he carried the Clippers pretty much single-handedly to the only Western Conference Finals that the Clippers have ever been to. So
sure.
I do want to cut the guy a little bit of slack. I mean, we talked a season or two ago about who we would rather have on the team, Kawhi Leonard or Paul George. You said Kawhi, I said Paul George. Now, maybe the answer is neither, but at that time, and neither had been extended, remember at the time, and neither has Paul George, or he hasn't, but Kawhi since has. I said Paul George, you said Kawhi Leonard, because Kawhi Leonard is one of the best players of all time, and that's true, but Paul George does show up, and yes, he has an injury woes, but he's played through a lot of these playoff series, not last year. I just take umbrage with, I'm not tired of Paul George, I'm not sick of Paul George. I do think that he, when he can, he gives it his all, and so does Harden, but at least he's forthright too. So yeah, tonight was terrible. I mean, it was a disastrous, abysmal, I'm throwing up into my own mouth and swallowing it back and throwing it up again performance. Still love Paul George, and I hope they extend him, if I can be honest with you.
Well, all right, on that note, let's take a quick break. We'll talk more PG after this.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, so you think we should extend him. I mean, he's got to show something, man, in these final couple of games. My issue is he's so inconsistent. I mean, you look at what he did in April. He shot 52.5%, 47% from three, 89% from the free throw line, averaged over 24 points per game. This is what I mean. It's there, man. It is there for PG. He went through a stretch. Remember that when we were talking, at one point, he was 19 points or less in the majority of games, from like 13 to 15 games or something like that. I don't have the exact number in front of me. Then he goes and hits 20 plus in damn near every single game in April. And then here he is now, where in this playoff series, he's averaging 17 points, 4 rebounds, and 4 assists, and averaging 2 turnovers a game and nearly 5 fouls a game while shooting 40% from the field and 30% from 3. He's been a disappearing act, and it's one of those things where it happens far too often. And that's my issue with him, is that he is talked about as one of the top 15 players in the NBA. I mean, there, when he is going, he is talked about as one of the top 15 players in the NBA. There is no shot in hell that he is deserving of being in that group when he continues to disappear. Tell me how many times you see guys like Giannis disappear in the playoffs. Tell me how many times you see guys like LeBron, Anthony Davis disappear in the playoffs. Jokic, Jamal Murray disappear in the playoffs. It doesn't happen. PG, it happens to him far too often, and I'm sick of it. And that's my biggest gripe, is that he's just too inconsistent for a player that should be better than what he's showing right now.
Well, you set me up too well, because LeBron and AD have disappeared in, I think, 1.5 games, if you calculate all of the second halves of the series against the Nuggets this year, because they have not been, they've been great in the first half, bad in the second half. Speaking of the Lakers, sorry, Lakers fans, but I understand that Paul George disappears and he's inconsistent, and maybe, yeah, he's not that number one guy, but what is the alternative to extending Paul George?
That's the issue, man. That is the issue. You've made this bed. You got to lay in it, and you got to bring all three guys back for the misery again that we're going to go with next year. I mean, listen, the series is not over, but it's you're going to have to do it again.
Let's not call it misery. I mean, tonight was misery. Tonight was terrible, and you know, okay. So I do think you should bring the three guys back. This series is not over.
No.
It's not over, and I'll tell you that right now. But, okay, I want to talk about the Harden's minutes for a minute.
Let's talk about that, because you and I disagree on that as well. You texted me at halftime and you said that 23 minutes ain't it. I disagreed with you, because guess what? He's the only player that gave a shit out there. He's the only player that was actually going and trying and actually making baskets. So why were you so opposed to so many minutes?
Because it was fairly obvious during the first half that the game was probably over. So a guy like Harden, who has traditionally fallen apart towards the end of the play. Why did everybody say he played so well in game one? Because he had rest. Mm-hmm. And you're going to play him 39, 44, and 42 minutes consecutively? Let's let him get a break. If we want to win this series, and he's going to be a large part of it, and he's going to be the number two guy, if we're considering Paul George one and Kawhi is hampered, man, playing all but 1 minute in the first half, that's putting a lot of pressure on a guy that is supposed to be the third option on your team. And he's just doing everything. And he's ISOing, as you pointed out. And he's doing the ball's in his hands all the time. And he has to play defense against guys like Luka. And 23 out of 24 minutes in the first half? No, Brandon, I don't think that's it. This is going to wear Harden down. And if this is indeed going to be a long series, he's going to be gassed.
That's fair. And that's a very good point. And I understand that. And when you say the game is over, I mean, listen, the Clippers made a run at it when, after Paul George made that ridiculous shot, then all of a sudden the Clippers got on a little bit of a run. Norm Powell got fouled on a three. He made all three of those free throws, and I think they cut it to six. And then, of course, they hit a couple of shots, Dallas did, to put it right back to double figures. But the Clippers had a chance. So,
in the first half or the second half?
Second half.
The first half, 23 minutes is crazy.
Yeah, but part of it is, I'm assuming, because PG got in foul trouble. I mean, he picked up three fouls with 6 minutes left to go in the second quarter. So I'm imagining that wasn't the plan to play him 23 minutes, because he played the entire first quarter. And so I'm guessing they didn't have it designed for him to play the entire second quarter. But that's kind of the way the cookie crumbled, because your second best player was in foul trouble and your best player played only 10 minutes in the first half. So if Kawhi plays 10 minutes and PG doesn't play a whole lot of minutes in the second half or the second quarter, then someone's got to play minutes, and that's why it was Harden. So I get why they did it, because are you really going to sit Harden, Kawhi, and PG and let your bench just try and figure it out? Because guess what? The bench didn't have it either with Westbrook at the helm instead of Harden. Westbrook was 0 for 7, 0 for 4 from 3. Westbrook. I mean, he had a great first half defending in that second quarter against Luka, where, guess what? He had a steal and two blocks in the first quarter. You know what he ended with? A steal and two blocks. So he was useless after that first quarter. He grabbed Luka's arm, which was dumb to do, but Luka acted like he was grabbed by a 39,000-pound bear and was thrown around the entire world and went around and around and around, and he stupidly threw a punch at PJ Washington, which he may get suspended for. So all of that was unnecessary, what happened afterwards. Listen, he tried to grab a guy that was blowing past him, was blown out of proportion. He shouldn't have done it, but man, either way, he was useless off the bench. And we finally got a good Norm Powell game, 7 of 11, 4 of 6 from 3. We knew that it was going to come at some point. He had 21 points, and it was useless because the rest of the bench was useless. And I don't know if you want to elaborate more on Russ, because we can, but you can even look at guys like Mason Plumlee, who were freaking awful in the first half. And Plumlee was not good, and Westbrook was not good. Amir Coffey was not good. And so apart from Norm Powell, you had nobody apart from Zoo and Harden that actually played well in that game. So Westbrook sucked, but the rest of the bench wasn't much better apart from Norm.
Plumlee is proving to be unplayable. Westbrook, I do think that it was, like I said, it was 6:10 left in the fourth and that whole melee happened or whatever. And yeah, he did some dumb stuff, but perhaps that's bulletin board material. You know, maybe it galvanizes the team for the game and everybody, whatever. It was silly, but I didn't think it was as crazy as they just throw it to Steve Javy And he said, there's no reason for him to. Okay. It's fine. It's playoff basketball. Let's move on. T-Man was terrible.
Yeah.
After we talked about much more he needs to play. Mm-hmm. 23 minutes, yeah, but
didn't really do
much.
Yep.
Coffee, yeah, terrible. Norm was great, and you know, you said wasted. I don't know that it's wasted because perhaps okay. What if in the matinee game on Sunday he's awoken, right? Like this kind of gets him going, and then so for him to play well in this game, maybe it's wasted in this game, but maybe now he's got a stroke back, he's got a confidence back. Maybe we'll get the Norm that we know and love. So I don't think it's wasted to him to play well. Let's get that in the next game. And it boils down to the big three, obviously. And look, 44 minutes total for Harden. He rested 4 minutes.
Yeah.
That's tough for as much as you may need him in here, and maybe they got it down to 6, and okay, great. He was still minus 21, but that's because everybody else sucked.
Yeah.
In the starting lineup. 44 minutes, 42 in the previous game, 39. Dude, that's a lot for Harden to have to step up as now maybe the second guy if Kawhi is not right. And that's all I'm saying.
And here's the issue. And I mean, listen, I get it. I get the concern. But we just talked about how bad the bench was. So somebody needed to play. And as bad as the bench was, that's why Harden was on the floor. He needed to actually score. The Clippers needed points. And you weren't going to throw in the towel that early on in the third quarter. And then maybe you should have probably threw the towel a little bit earlier than you did. I think it was like 2 minutes left in the quarter in the game. But, I mean, come on. You had to play somebody with PG and Kawhi being useless. And so that's why he did. But you're right. Because here's the issue. We're sitting here at 8:25 p.m. And the Clippers play at right after noon on Sunday. I mean, that is a day and a half the Clippers have to get ready. You think Kawhi is not healthy now? Guess what? He ain't going to be healthy all of a sudden in 36 hours. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm saying it's nothing. There's no time between these games. It's with the matinee game. You're right. I'm just agreeing with you.
Yeah. No, it's not good. It's not good at all. And it's very quick. And listen, we were recording this podcast right after the game ended. And so I'm certainly negative, but I do have perspective. The sky is not falling. I do think the Clippers are in trouble. I do think they're going to lose the series based on what I've seen so far. And the reason why I'm saying that is not because they just lost this game. It's because we saw time and time again in the final month and a half of the season, the Clippers were way too Jekyll and Hyde. They were going on that roller coaster, going up and down, up and down. They were showing us they could do it, which they did in game one. And then they've been not good offensively, especially in games two and games three. And it's not good. I mean, Dallas luckily missed all their shots in game one and the Clippers had a big lead. And then all of a sudden Dallas came back and we thought, okay, fine. There's room for improvement for the Clippers. They won all these categories. They just didn't shoot well. Guess what? They didn't shoot well again. Maybe this team just is struggling against a good Dallas defense. And I don't know what it is. I don't know what Paul George's issue is. Kawhi Leonard's obviously hurt. It's just not a recipe for success. And so that's why I think they're going to lose the series, because they're not looking like a team that has that hunger to win. And when your second best player is laying an egg like PG and your best player is hurt like Kawhi, I just don't know how you beat Luka and Kyrie. And the absurd thing is, Matt, is that Luka didn't play well. Luka shot 7 for 25, 3 of 13 from 3, and yet they won the game. Kyrie had 21 points. That's it. And yet, they won the game. It's because Dallas got contributions from their bench, and the Clippers turned it over left and right. 19 turnovers by an NBA team is pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. The Clippers can certainly clean things up. They can shoot better. They only lost by 11. They can come back, and they can win game four. It's certainly possible. But as we sit here, does this team win game four with a hurt Kawhi Leonard, with a Russell Westbrook that may be suspended, and with a Dallas team that's at home. And the odds will certainly tell you that they won't win this game. Now, what did I say on this podcast after the last game? That it would be total Clippers to go ahead and lose game three and then come back and win that matinee game after laying an egg. And it's very possible. It's possible. I don't think it's going to happen, but it certainly is possible.
It's possible. And, you know, if you're right, if Irving and Doncic outscore Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and Harden, then you're going to lose.
Yeah.
And you're right. Like, the supporting cast, like, you go down the box score. Okay, PJ Washington, fine, whatever. Derek Jones Jr., whatever. Gafford, it has to do with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. If they can get back in the mix with Harden, who played too many minutes, the Clippers still have a chance to win this series, and they do have a chance to win that matinee game. Now, do I think they will? Yes. I do think they will tie it up because there has to be some sort of focus. And you talked about the offense getting it together, and you've been on this for a long time. This ISO ball, this your turn, my turn. Can the Clippers turn that around? Is there something, besides a Harden Zoo pick and roll, which we're all yelling for, can there be ball movement? Can they swing it around? Can they do it?
I'm glad you brought that up because this is the last point I wanted to make before we go to sleep. And that is the Clippers are getting dominated in the paint. They're not getting into the paint and doing any damage. And it's Zoo has been good for two of the three games. And PG's got to get to the hoop. Kawhi's got to get to the hoop. Team Man's got to get to the hoop. These guys got to drive. They got to get easier buckets. They're making it way too hard on themselves with these jumpers. I mean, you look at what Tim McMahon tweeted at halftime. The Mavs had 10 dunks in the first half. That's the second most dunks a team has had in a playoff half over the last 25 years. The Clippers' interior defense sucked, and they weren't doing anything on the other end. And you look at what's happening inside. And Justin Russo tweeted this out after the first half. No team this regular season shot under 60% in the restricted area. The Clippers are shooting under 50% in the restricted area through the first 10 quarters of this series. No team shot under 60%, Matt. They're under that. They're under 50%. Under 10% less in the restricted area. It's not good enough. They need to get easier baskets. Exactly. They're making it way too hard on themselves. And if they don't clean that up, they're going to lose because you can't go with this ISO ball jump shooting. It's not going to win you many games because guess what? Those are low percentage shots. And unless you somehow get hot for a game or two, you have no shot.
Yeah, what a crazy... So the Clips are essentially... I mean, of course, Doncic and Irving, but the Clips are almost beating themselves by refusing to run a fluid offense.
Yeah.
So it's... They have to get that together, and boy, they have to get shots in the paint, and I do think that they're going to win on Sunday. But, man.
Not feeling good about it.
Yeah, I'm not feeling... I'm not 100%. And Paul George and Kawhi, if he does indeed play, will need to meet Harden at center court and say, hey, we're also the stars on this team.
By the way, Kawhi Leonard says his knee did not respond the way the team was hoping it would after the last game, so the team's continuing to monitor and manage the inflammation. Says it was either play limited today or don't play at all, and he wanted to be out there. He shouldn't have been out there. If you're going to play limited and you're not going to play to your capability, normally we'd say 60% Kawhi Leonard is better than nothing. Man, he was less than that, and so he was not good at all. And if the knee did not respond the way he wanted it to, then I don't know, man. He said expects to play game four, but he also wants to see how his knee feels. So we'll see. It's not great. Yeah, and he's frustrated. Obviously, it happened late in the season, but guess what? It always does. Because unfortunately, he's an injury-plagued player, and it's unfortunate for him because he's a fantastic ball player when he actually plays, but not great at all as we go into Game 4, which is going to be in the afternoon on Sunday. We'll record a podcast post-game, And we'll see if the Clippers are tied at the series 2-2, going back with home court advantage, or if they are down 3-1 and most likely going to be toast after the first round. So we do have a new review. Not going to read it tonight. We'll try and get to it next time. Matt Matawarren at Matt Matawarren on X. I am at BD Marcus. If you rate and review the podcast, always does help. Give us that 5-star rating. Review the podcast. Tell us if you like, dislike, whatever we say, whatever. We can handle it. I promise you. And continue to interact. We love talking to all the folks that listen to the pod. So until next time, he's Matt. I'm Brandon. And go Clips.
Go Clips.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.